Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, hosted by me, Dr. John Wales. This is the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Today's guests are first the Executive Director of the Agents Council for Technology, or ACT. He brings together independent insurance agents, insurance carriers, software vendors, and other industry groups to advance the use of the most effective business processes and technologies. Our second guest is the Program Director with Agents Council for Technology, ACT, a program of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, Big I. They are here to help our agencies by showing us how to advance the use of technology, enhance efficiency, productivity, sales and marketing, service and security within our agencies. I would like to welcome to the huddle Ron Berg, Executive Director, and Jeannie Winkworth, Program Manager of the Agents Council for Technology. Welcome to the huddle.
Hey, John. Thanks, John. Great to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking your time to help our agencies. Can you describe to us, what is the Agents Council for Technology?
That's a great question, because I think one of our biggest challenges is, even though we create free resources for independent agents, most independent agents, Big I members, don't know the depth of the things we offer. So really, ACT, the Agents Council for Technology, began in 99 when the industry needed a forum, a balanced, agnostic forum, to talk about certain technology issues, starting off with comparative rating, download, things like that. So in 99, ACT was formed, and we brought together reps from carriers, vendors, and agencies, and started focusing on bringing everybody together to implement accelerated and consistent technology solutions. And we've grown from that. And I think it's important to note, John, that ACT is one of about 50 programs under the Big I National umbrella. However, we kind of stand on our own when it comes to being the technology forum where we can bring those carriers, those vendors, agents, user groups, associations together in a really balanced forum where people take off their hats and talk about any number of technology issues, from cybersecurity to customer experience to comparative rating, small commercial lines, any type of technology implementation. People kind of take off their company hats, don't really market for their companies, whether they be carriers or vendors, but we all want to solve for those issues that agents are going through and dealing with from a technology standpoint. And it's Jeannie and I who are the staff of ACT, and we benefit by the volunteer work from all of our stakeholders. Right, Jeannie?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Ron was actually the singular member of ACT until about 2 years ago, when I actually was working with ACT as a carrier member and saw all the great things that ACT was producing and doing, and said to Ron, you need help. Like, you need somebody to assist you with this. So that was that, and that's how I ended up with ACT. So
I'm grateful to have her. So to wrap up your question, John, we create free resources for independent agents, and quite honestly, independent agents across the United States. Whether it be downloadable guides on how to address cyber issues, create disaster plans, remote work security guides, remote work agreements, customer experience, and have online resources as well. Our customer experience website steps agents through understanding the expectations of consumers and then customers as they go through their buying journey, and all the technology touch points that lay underneath, whether it be comp rating, chat, mobile apps, solid website, anything from a technology standpoint. And all we do, thanks to our volunteer members, is free.
What would you say is the most information that's in demand? Because I don't know what I don't know, and I can barely plug in a toaster.
I'll share what I think is most in demand. I think Ginny and I are constantly on the same page, which is a great thing to be. From my standpoint, it's cyber. Cyber is a part of everything, every technology implementation. There are a myriad of cyber issues. I think agents are looking for help there, but they also really are looking for insights on creating their tech stack, on understanding those technology implementations that make up the user experience, whether internally in the agency or externally to consumers and customers. Ginny, what's your perspective on
that? Yeah, I guess I was going to sort of comment on that. Workflow solutions is really what comes to my mind as being mm-hmm. most in demand, but workflow solutions with the embracing of the technology, because I just think many, many agents hear about the new technologies, different things they can implement, but just don't understand them, or maybe overwhelmed by the volume of that information that's available to them, and consequently don't act on that. So no pun intended on the act part. but, you know, things like even just download and eDocs and things like that, I think a lot of agents are just not familiar enough with that. And anything that we can do to help educate and help agents embrace that more to help their efficiencies is really what we're all about.
And to put a little finer point on that, that's perfect, Ginny. I think internally for those not in the know, but those who are having the conversations daily, the project leaders or IT reps from carriers, the same from vendors, and maybe from the agencies that have larger staff that can dedicate to IT, some of those things that Ginny mentioned, download, eDocs, some of the things I've talked about, that we talk about in everyday conversation, it's obvious to us, but I think sometimes we put barriers in place by talking about them too offhandedly and not really breaking down the value, pointing agents to where to get going. Agents have so much going on in their offices with sales goals, with staff, with a million things, but then you get technology implementations and cyber regulations and things like that. They're not sure where to start, to Ginny's point, and our job is to give them that understanding and a place to start. Some of that is free ACT resources. Some of that is pointed towards industry resources, whether it be carrier or technology provider like CoverWallet for agents or any of the large group of resources that are out there.
From my point, I know there are a lot of resources out there, and you could tell me, okay, XML does XML downloads and all this, and I may understand the term, I may recognize the term, but I don't necessarily understand what it does, and then most importantly, I don't necessarily know how to implement it in my agency. And I think as technology is moving faster and faster, when I started out the business, I remember typing out my accord forms on an IBM Selectric, and then I upgraded to a dot matrix printer. And that was high technology. You know, I remember getting our upgrading our computers to Windows 98 and just being blown away. Like, what do you mean? I can type this stuff on the screen. But the adoption process for me was I had to understand what it was, had to understand, okay, what it did, and then how it benefits my workflow, and how it benefits my agency. Do you think that the pattern of adoption has changed since the speed of technology advancement has increased?
My experience has been mainly on the carrier side. I actually did work in an agency 150 years ago when I first graduated from college. So my experience has been on the carrier side. And, you know, on the carrier end, I think you had a good point earlier, John, when you were saying that the implementation piece, it's the overwhelmingness, maybe is kind of where I'm going with that. One of the things that came to mind when you were talking about that to me was one of the ways we've tried to break down those barriers with implementation and understanding has been to sort of present our resources in a way that an agent can more easily understand and digest that, if that makes sense. Particularly what we have, as Ron likes to make sure everyone knows, it's sort of a one-of-a-kind website that talks about the customer experience and the customer journey and the phases of that. And what we tried to do is then take those individual phases and put the technology into each one of those. So as an agent, I might not even know that I need to know about, as you said, don't know what I don't know. As an agent, I might not know that I need to know about e-signature or about my SEO or whatever SEO means and, you know, all these terms and things. But with our customer experience website, I do know that people need to discover me as an agent, right? They need to find me. So I can go to that part of the ACT website and I can see then the technologies that are pointed for that particular phase. So I don't know that that even answered your question, John, but that was sort of my thought as you were talking, was about how ACT tries to make that information more easily available and digestible for an agent.
It's the digestible process, because we keep hearing, great opportunity, look at all the new bells and whistles, and I'm here at my IBM Selectric trying to figure out, okay, I'm stuck in my own bubble, and I think every agent out there has their own technology bubble. We get to our level of where we think is comfort, and then we stay there, which is why you see a lot of agents plateau. And
yes,
we don't understand the opportunities that are out there because we are so focused in on writing are so many policies because we want so much of a growth target that we forget that, you know, we are literally stepping over a dollar to save a dime in our time because we're not expanding our fishbowl. We're good at sitting at our computer screens, and now we're glad that they're not green screen, and we're writing the policies. And I don't think that we have a grasp of what it means when somebody says an opportunity for the industry. So how, you know, what is the opportunity? How can we apply it? You know, and that's my line of thought, is I think there's still a disconnect, and I don't know if it's a technology phobia or if it's just almost an apathy where we may be driving past the golden nugget of something that can really help our agencies because we're stuck in the way doing things the way we've always done it.
Yeah, I think, John, it's a little from column A and a little from column B. Not that anyone is really at fault or to blame with that. The acceleration of available technology over the past 3-4 years has just exploded. And, you know, it's easy to get into that analysis paralysis. You recall, I mean, you talked about the time of having a Selectric, and then you went through, we as an industry went through kind of an elongated phase when carriers told the agents what they could or could not use, way back to some carriers installing terminals in agencies, kind of the what they would call the dumb terminals back then, and then starting to roll out more modern workflows with download and things like that. And now with the addition from carrier solutions, whether it be APIs or download or some of the insurtechs, of the plethora of the insurtech solutions that are out there, it's difficult for any small business to figure out what is the right thing for me. Yes, this is working for XYZ agency down the street. I see ABC brokerage that's giant using these things. What's right for me in my size? And that's a difficult place to be in.
What do you see in the independent agent distribution? What technologies, what opportunities do you see coming? You know, and what resources do you think that do you have available to help us navigate those opportunities?
Well, Ginny had mentioned, and I had mentioned a while ago, the customer experience, that digital agency that we're getting to be. That's one. I think We were in one place as an industry in 2019. Yes, the technology had matured. That was being offered from a number of places. But I think the pandemic has kind of forced agencies to understand and react to technology needs, whether it be staff or customers, in a way they really hadn't contemplated. And we, as ACT, we had a disaster plan in place, but we never thought to add pandemic as one of those types of disasters alongside natural disasters. So to one, I think, part of your question, John, we as an industry, our hand has been forced, and we are implementing things faster than we ever have before. Specific to your question, I think there's things like APIs that connect what carriers are offering, what tech providers are offering, connecting services for customers that will kind of stand up, if you will, the ability for mobile applications that the customers are using, that stand up the ability for data that agencies need to be able to gain insights on what their customer activities are and get in front of that with proactive services. So APIs, I think, absolutely are one of those things. The other things that we're seeing from my end are the amazing rapid advancement of artificial intelligence and the IoT and what that's enabling for not only personal lines, sensors in your home and things that benefit everyone, but also from commercial lines. It's the applications there are amazing across the board for what small businesses can implement. And what does all of that mean for an agent who really kind of understands a little bit around what AI and IoT is, but really is unsure what that means for their role in advising their customers? I think that's where we as an industry really can help out.
I'm thinking a little maybe outside of the realm of what maybe a mainstream, main street maybe is the word agent would think about, but one of the areas that Ron and I have recently been hearing a lot more about and have sort of decided that ACT needs to get our finger on the pulse of is the use of blockchain. And not that, as I said, a Main Street agent would even need to know the blockchain part of streamlining workflows. So what cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin are built on is, you know, obviously this distributed ledger system that the industry now is looking, using that to make it easier to do certificates of insurance or to submit first notices of loss. And it's just, again, it's just this like crazy new sort of, you know, tech terms that you're hearing, but it's real world implications, you know, and it's really getting at simplifying the agent's world. And that's kind of what, you know, what the point is.
That's really well said, Ginny. And as you can tell, John, Ginny has really taken on for ACT kind of ensuring that we internally stay up on blockchain. And that provides a great insight for us. And what we're doing is kind of bringing that to the front for our industry. We included a blockchain discussion, blockchain and the IA distribution channel, where it is now in our last ACT Tech Summit this October, with a couple of key players in our industry there. And even as much as I try to keep track, keep my finger on the pulse of technology, we heard about blockchain a number of years ago, and then we didn't really, we keep hearing about it, but we didn't hear about any applications in our distribution channel. And now we're at the point where it is being implemented in a number of ways. So that's one example of staying on the kind of the forefront of where technology is going.
Could you quickly define what blockchain is?
So I'm going to give you the absolute basic bottom line explanation, because, you know, I've been sitting in on a lot of different conference calls and webinars and things that have been being produced by the institutes. So the institutes, I think most people know, you know, do are the CPCU education and things like that. Well, they have an offshoot called RiskStream, and RiskStream is a blockchain initiative collaborative that they have established. And these, I guess, in my long way of saying these calls and things that I've participated in are like crazy over my head. it's like, wow, you know, the things that they're proposing. But my very naive explanation is that it is a distributed ledger that is unable to be changed by anyone without that being part of the ledger, part of the chain. So there'll be many entities, like in the case of, like, let's say a certificate of insurance, there's going to be many entities that have a stake in that and have data that are a part of that. And it's immutable. So no one can make changes to that without that being part of the chain and being available to everyone. So that's like the sort of the way layman's interpretation. Ron, maybe you can add something better to that than I did.
I think that works. Basically, it's a digital chain that the history cannot be altered. So it's the steps that have happened to date are going to stay locked in and can't be faked, frauded, altered. But the participants can add on as Ginny said, for a certificate of insurance, if the last step is to validate it by the final party, that's what happens, and it becomes a distributed certificate of insurance. And there are many applications.
And on the certificate of insurance level, I think one of the big draws or the benefits that everyone's looking at is there's obviously always been the concern that a certificate of insurance, when it's issued, is just a point in time. I mean, that information can change 5 minutes, 5 seconds after the certificate's issued. So that's one of the big benefits of the blockchain technology, is that's always sort of a live, for lack of a better word, a live feed of information and data that's going into that and always making it current and valid. So just one of the use cases that they're working on with that.
With all this change and with all this new technology, what are some of the cyber risks to the agent? Because I understand technology, I understand blockchain and having the live document. What happens to my E&O if somebody's able to hack in, change the content of that document to show an endorsement that wasn't there? Again, what is the risk to my business?
Sadly, just know that for every technology advancement, there are extremely intelligent people with poor judgment on the versus right versus wrong that are looking at each of those implementations, whether it be blockchain or anything as simple as your website or even email. So the implications for agents are many. And they're seeing a lot of regulations come out that agents, small business owners, are struggling to comply with. In some cases, it's down to the state level where states are adopting the NAIC model law. Those that are in New York are familiar with the New York DFS laws that are out there, and they're very onerous on small businesses. And it can be There are a string of things that they have to do to protect themselves, to reasonably protect themselves, and ensure that valuable data that they are entrusted with from their customers is protected as possible. And there's just any number of things that they need to do from a risk assessment, starting with a risk assessment, having a written information security plan, having a response plan, what to do in case they are breached. No different than having a disaster plan. A disaster plan is to get you to a place as a business owner where if there is a hurricane, a tornado, a fire, whatever, you can pivot quickly and continue to do business, continue to work to service your customers. A response plan is the same thing when it comes to cyber. So Those are just a few examples, John, of what agents have to do. They have to do agency rep training so they don't click on an errant email and expose the system to ransomware or some other type of malware. Encrypting data, using multi-factor authentication, and some of the state regulations dependent upon the agency size, the number of employees, the number of premium written per year, they can be exempt from some of these regulations, but they need to know where they sit. And that's where really our guidance and pointing to other partner solutions that will help agents is critical. And that's why we came up with the Agency Cyber Guide 3.0, an online modular system of free resources that help agents understand where they are. And agents really are, independent agents are the second highest targeted sector across all types of businesses now. It's because they hold that personally identifiable information that's so valuable to those, this is where I usually start swearing and I won't, to those bad actors that are using their amazing talents for the wrong purposes. So you asked, John, a question on what do they need to look at. There's no one answer. There's no one thing that they have to do. It's a plan that they have to start. They have to assess everything that they're doing from hardware and software. They have to look at the protections that are put in place. And as critically as anything, it's never done. Unfortunately, I don't see a time in the future where there's a silver bullet. Agencies, small businesses are always going to have to be looking at and updating their protections and every implementation, adding that to their risk assessment. So there's a lot there. If it sounds like a lot, it is, but there are things out there, some free like us. We also point to some at cost resources if they need help from cybersecurity providers. But there are places to start.
We've seen some change, at least at the agency level, of some of the cyber attacks. They used to just target credit cards. I mean, they were looking after credit card information, and you'd find that. Then it was the personal identifiable information. Then it was ransomware. And we just had two of our agents in a very short period of time. Talking small mom and pop, three employee agencies that maybe had 4,000 or 5,000 policies enforced. But the new attack is they will come in, they will mine your information, and then without letting you know that your information's been mined, they ransomware you. So so by the time you get your ransomware notice and you're thinking, oh, I have to figure out how to combat this, and what do I do? Who do I contact? And hopefully you add cyber insurance.
Yes, that's key. That is key.
But we're seeing by the time you have that ransomware attack and you think you're trying to protect customer data, the customer data is already in the dark web and on the cloud.
There's no trusting thieves. I mean, they'll say, okay, we'll give you your data back for 500 Bitcoin or 5 Bitcoin or whatever. It's gone. You look at it, it's gone. And that's where, like you said, John, that cyber liability insurance for your business is... there's just no choice. You have to have it. And unfortunately, because of the plethora of ransomware attacks, particularly, that's now the main incursion along with social engineering, that cyber liability insurance is creeping up in cost. And it's going to be a requirement soon to have multi-factor authentication and encryption in place for agencies. And all that means, John, is that you really got to be on point with your game, your cyber hygiene game. There's just too much at stake. And when you are alerted that you have been breached, it's too late. And often an average, up until this year, it was an average of 229 days for a business to discover that they were breached after the first incursion. So you're right. They're in there mining that. They're getting... Once they're in, they escalate their privileges so they have administrative authority in the background. So they're searching out through the network and getting all that data. And, you know, it's not just, as I said, it's not just, hey, we've got your data. We're holding it ransom. Give us some Bitcoin and we'll give it back to you. It's not that simple.
One of the agents that got hit didn't have cyber liability insurance. And he kept telling me, well, that was $1,000 a year. I'm like, yes, but now look at the cost that you're facing on just the notifications. I mean, you're right. Almost at $1 million loss already. And we've just started.
And that's potentially losing your business is the position there.
I believe that this agent is going to have to close shop. Not only that, but it's going to affect the liability is going to follow him even after the close of the business. Yeah. We all know about cyber. We knew cyber policies were out there. We kind of knew what they did because we were selling them, but we didn't know how it could apply to us. And it's that it'll never happen to me or the forever optimism of saying, I don't think I'll ever need this. And nowadays it's mandatory for me. I've seen too many agents now in trouble with cyber breaches or cyber attacks. And most of them, like you said, social engineering. We had one in our office where somebody tried to click a link. Now, luckily we had the technology where the technology may have not stopped the email, but it did stop the link. And all it was is it was an Amazon link, and they just changed the letter of the A of the one of the letters in Amazon to a Cyrillic character that looks like an A.
Yes.
There's no way anybody, unless you were studying that link, would have found it.
What you spoke of specifically, John, is becoming more common. They're getting more intelligent. They know that, yeah, people are checking the URL. They're checking to make sure that the name is spelled correctly. But changing a vowel to Cyrillic is something that is becoming more and more common. And that is something that you don't internalize when you're looking at an email quickly, and we're all programmed to get more work done faster. That errant click too quickly can bring an agency to your knees. And to your point, it's hard enough, John, if you have cyber liability insurance, to suffer through all the consequences, telling your customers that, hey, you trusted me to hold your data, we've been breached. I'll set you up with credit monitoring and a 1-800 number. But that's looking at loss of business there. And if you don't have cyber liability insurance, which sometimes can help you with remediation, reputation management, certainly some of the diagnostics and forensics around it, if you don't have that, it's really too little too late.
I can't push that enough. With the changes in independent agent distribution and them going from being a centralized office to essentially working in the cloud, that adds another dynamic of us not being able to control our staff's actions.
Yeah, and that's where that training, initial and then consistent, thorough training, it can be anyone. It's not just the frontline people clicking through emails. It can be CEOs, principals, line of business leaders. Anyone in any business is open to an errant click or incurring some malware, ransomware.
As agents, we say, hey, this is something that happens on the news. This doesn't happen in my office.
It happens.
It's happening more and more in the office. Yeah, I'm reviewing the show notes and I see this. Websites and ADA. I would not have acquainted ADA actions or requirements with a website.
Yeah, that's something I think that kind of, to me, it blends right into cyber. But as many agencies or small businesses are fending off cyber attacks, there is more litigation going on around ADA and insurance agents than really anything else. And the backstory, the very quick backstory, is that there are nefarious legal counsel out there, and they are teaming up with some of the same bad actors that create cyber attacks. And what happens is they create bots, automated bots that scroll the internet looking for keywords like insurance coverages, things like that, insurance keywords. They find an independent agent's website, and then those bots are modified to scroll through and determine whether they are ADA compliant. When they find one that is not, they send correspondence to that agency through the guise of a legal representative saying, hey, we found that your website is not ADA compliant. We are filing suit against you with the hopes that they settle out of court for whatever amount. And that is happening all over the United States, and the number of cases is astronomical. It just continues to surprise me and Ginny. It's happening in New York and Nevada and Arizona and all over. So no one can be 100% compliant without a lot of cost, but you can be reasonably compliant with very little cost. There are widgets that some vendors offer that will bring you ADA compliance to your website that will make you reasonably compliant. And the positive to that is you're opening up your agency for far more business potentially than you had ever been before if you are accommodating sighted, auditory, other types of issues. It's a way to bring more business into the agency. And Ginny helped with the creation of an ADA FAQ site to help agents with awareness to that.
When I first started diving into commercial insurance, we would have issues where people would start receiving notices from legal counsel because their handicap signs were 47 inches tall instead of 45, or the wheelchair ramp was 2.8% grade instead of the 2.4, and there was a big rash in that, and a lot of small companies were going out of business because there really wasn't an ADA insurance policy for it at the time. I mean, you can write it in EPLI if you went to the advanced premium level, but most of these small businesses didn't understand that. And as you were mentioning that, the ADA on the website, my first interaction is saying, oh, here we go again. It's the same bad actors that were probably going after the small businesses, you know, your brick and mortar, and they've just moved on to a more efficient online process.
Yeah, it is more efficient, unfortunately. But between Ginny and I, we feel that whatever we can do to bring awareness to that. And again, with ADA, it's a complex issue. If you look at all the different tactile and sighted and auditory different permutations there are, it's difficult, but there are resources out there to protect yourself against it. And as I said, you're potentially opening yourself up to a wider clientele if you make your website ADA compliant.
Overall. So the good news, right? So we're talking about all this horrible, you know, awful things that can happen. But the good news on all of this is that ACT has a whole host of resources that can address a lot of these issues for the agents, right? So we've raised a lot of eyebrows, I think, with all the things that we've talked about. But independentagent.com/ACT is the place to go, and you're going to see resources just on our homepage about remote work security guide. You know, we just talked about that, working from home and the cyber issues with that. We've got our customer experience site with a self-assessment there to help agents figure out what they need to do to address any particular customer experience concerns that they have. We've got our cyber guide. So I'm just doing the shameless plug for ACT right now. But in the same vein, obviously trying to help the agents, because that's what we're all about. I mean, I tell Ron all the time, we're the best kept secret out there.
And
we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be the best kept secret. So there's a plethora of resources that ACT has that can help with all of these things that we've talked about.
To wrap up that thought, John, it's all thanks to our supporting technology vendors and our carriers. So like CoverWallet and other tech providers and carriers pay to be an annual membership to be members of ACT, and they fund the work groups and our two annual meetings. It's because of those partners that we're funded to be able to create these free resources. And people hear free. How good can a conference be if it's free? How good can a cyber guide be if it's free? They are the result of the best minds in our industry, including agents being in these work groups going, this is what we need to create. This is the issue that agencies have. And the work group gets together and creates them, or the work groups, I should say. So it's thanks to our supporting members, the tech providers, vendors, and insurance companies, carriers.
Along those lines too, if anyone listening has an interest in being part of a work group and on the agency side, again, independentagent.com/act, go to our work group section on the left navigation and look at that. We're not looking for tech savvy people necessarily. We're looking for agents that have problems and they understand those workflow issues. And we want to hear what their needs are and help us create the resources to help.
The best point is to know that, you know, we're not alone. As independent right. agents, we tend to live on our own island and think everybody's a competitor. But I've learned the longer I've been in the industry that I may be friends with my quote-unquote competition down the street because we're facing some of the same issues, and that we're not alone, that we have organizations like yours to help us navigate that.
Absolutely.
Jenny, Ron, any parting words of wisdom as we wrap up here?
The industry has learned that sharing amongst us works well for moving us all forward. It doesn't mean that we're all the same, that we have to do things exactly the same, but we can learn from the hurdles and the challenges and those who have figured out some of the tech innovations, efficiencies, and sharing that together really works. And that's really what the industry has become great at. And that's really the bottom line for ACT. Jenny?
Yeah, and I think what you said earlier, Ron, about all our resources being free, but they are more valuable than anyone can imagine because they were created by all those greatest minds in the industry that have helped formulate the solutions to a lot of problems.
So, Jenny, can you give us one last plug with the website address and contact information so we can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So independentagent.com/ACT will get you to our ACT landing page where you can pretty much navigate to anything that we've talked about today and more. There's even more than we've discussed. And if you want to reach out to us, act@IIABA.net, Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, abbreviated. And Ron or I would love to, you know, find out what you need and what we can do to help.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it for this edition of the Insurance Huddle. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, be sure to check out our Facebook page and Medium blog, linked in the description box down below, for more great resources. This podcast has been brought to you by CoverWallet for Agents, the easiest way for insurance agents to quote, bind, and service their small business clients. All online and in minutes. Check us out at coverwalletforagents.com.